So today, actually, I'll be continuing the sermon series that we've been on in the book of Acts. And if you've been with us, you'll notice that we've been talking about this movement that started so many years ago, where the Holy Spirit comes down on this group of people, just a few group of people, 120 people, one day in the upper room, and they were filled with the Spirit. And on that day, we see Peter, you know, speak this moving sermon, and 3,000 people were saved. 3,000 people in one day, right? We've been talking about that. I mean, imagine for a second if 3,000 people were to walk into this room. That would be crazy. I mean, we would have a mega church right now. But it would be nuts. It would be nuts. And this is what we see. So something was actually happening. There's a movement that's beginning. There's a disruption that's happening. And people were flocking into this new movement. Thousands and thousands of people. And we see the inauguration, actually, of this movement start, actually, with Jesus himself. Actually, when he began his ministry, he walks into a temple in his hometown of Nazareth. He walks into a place where, actually, everyone probably knew who he was. And he opens the scroll, it says, in Luke chapter 4. And he opens to Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus himself inaugurates this movement, this kingdom of God movement. And as we've been looking at the book of Acts, I think there are three things, actually, I would like us to see that mark what this kingdom is about. Three things that marks, that gives us a sign of what this kingdom is about. The first thing I would say is there's a social renewal happening, right? People are flocking in. David Jung talked about it. Mike Park talked about it. There's a renewed sense of what community should look like. People from different ethnicities, different languages are coming together. We also see there's this spiritual renewal. People who are now deciding, listen, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm not going to follow the old order anymore. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. A restoration of spiritual of our souls, a spiritual renewal. And today what I'll be talking about is this miracles, signs, and wonders, the physical healing of the body. And if you would turn with me right now in the book of Acts chapter 3, I'm going to read a passage that actually gives an example of that, one of those signs and wonders that was happening at that time. So the book of Acts chapter 3 should be behind me as well. And it says, "One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at a time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. So when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. But Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, 'Look at us, look at us.' So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, 'Listen, silver or gold I do not have.'" Like, bro, sorry, I don't have cash on me. Does that happen? Probably has happened to you before. I've happened to me all the time. Sorry, I just have credit cards, no cash. But Peter said, yeah, he says, "I don't have money on me, but this I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Then Peter, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then this man went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at a temple gate called Beautiful. And they were all filled with with wonder and amazement at what happened. They were filled with awe and amazement. So in this passage, we see one of the marks of this kingdom, one of the marks of this movement, this healing power, this sign and wonders that people were filled with amazement. We see the Holy Spirit working through this man, not Jesus anymore, Jesus who we know is the Messiah, the Son of God, but now we see the Holy Spirit working through mere men to bring about restoration. I would say when we see this, we can say, oh, wow, the church is this visible expression of Jesus Christ. So just like Jesus Christ said, I have come to proclaim good news to the poor. I have come to bring healing to the sick. I have come to set the oppressed free. Now the church is the same visible expression of Jesus Christ. And I would argue even now, even today, that we are to continue that work of the kingdom, that same kingdom that Jesus Christ inaugurated. I would say that. But I know for most of us, we'll probably say, yeah, I can see the church today as a place of social renewal. I can see the church today as a place of racial reconciliation, right? I can see that. People from different backgrounds coming together as one. I can see the church as a place for spiritual renewal. People getting saved. But it's kind of hard to see the church today as a place where miracles and healings and signs and wonders can happen. It's pretty hard. If you look at exactly what these guys were doing, what Jesus was doing himself, he was healing people who were lame, who were blind. He was healing people out of their emotional problems, their inner anxieties and worries. He was casting out demons. Now, that's the one that we're like, no, that's weird. He was casting out demons. That doesn't make sense in our context today, right? Even for me, I have to be honest. I think maybe twice I have prayed for people, or two people here at our church since we started. And I remember actually when we first started, because we were trying to be like Acts, right? We were like, let's pray for everyone. I remember there was someone in our church who actually was suffering from a migraine problem. And Drew was all spirit-filled and stuff. He was like, is there someone here that has the gift of healing? And no one raised their hand. And I was like, all right, I'll just go up, just not to, so he doesn't look awkward. So I go up, I said, yeah, I'll pray for him. And, I'm praying for this guy, and I'm like, okay, I need to believe, but I don't really believe he might get healed. But I need to do it, just, get this over with. And we prayed. Sorry, that's not very pastoral. But we prayed. And this guy told us the next day, listen, I don't have this migraine. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. Let's see you next week. And he comes again. I still don't have it. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's cool. And then, we thank God. We same thing. We praise God. Like, wow, look at what God has done. But in the back of my mind, I was like, yeah, I don't know if that really happened. I'm pretty sure most of us are like that. We've had videos, right, a couple of times where people were, William Wang, he got healed. That's hard to believe. I'm sure it's hard to believe. We have this knee-jerk reaction. We have this cynicism about it. Like, maybe Jesus did that, but I don't think that happened today. This guy, Paul Hebert, he's a former missionary and professor, and he actually shared some light about this. In one of his books, he talks about being a missionary in India, and he was faced with kind of a similar problem. And at that time, in this village in India, there was a smallpox outbreak, and the villagers were like, oh, wow, we need to appease this idol, this god. That's the only way this sickness would go. So pretty much they needed to worship this demon or idol or whatever kind of thing. And the local Christians who were there came up to him, the missionary. They're like, dude, they want us to pray to this idol. But here's my child who has smallpox. Would you pray for him? And he's like, he's pretty uneasy. He's having that same knee-jerk reaction. This is what he says. Let's catch this. This is what he says about that experience. He says, as a Westerner, I was used to presenting Christ on the basis of rational arguments, not by evidences of his power in the lives of people who were sick, possessed, and destitute. So he's pretty much saying, like, listen, I'm only used to presenting Christ based on my intellectual knowledge, based on my studies in seminary and all the things that I've studied. That's the only way I can explain Jesus Christ. But I can't really explain this stuff you're talking about here. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit my paradigm. It doesn't fit my framework. And he goes on, he says, in particular, the confrontation with spirits that appeared so natural a part of Christ's ministry belonged in my mind to a separate world of the miraculous, far from the ordinary, everyday lives. Yeah, so it's what I read in scripture. That's some other, it doesn't fit what I know. So I will leave that to some, maybe ignore it. Yeah, it's there, but I'm not really sure, so I'll just leave it to the corner. And that's how we think about healings and miracles happening today. And I get it. But I would argue, and actually they do happen today. They do happen today. We've seen it. We have testimonies about it. It does happen. I mean, Jesus himself said in John 14, he said, "These things that I do, you will do as well if you believe." Those who call themselves Christians and believers, you will do the same works that I do. Actually, you will do even greater than the things that I'm doing right now. Right? Jesus at that time, limited in space and time, right? As a man in human body, could not do the same thing we're doing right now. The church is widespread. Miracles and signs and wonders, people who are renewed, people are touched, people are restored. And that's what he's saying, that you would do greater than what I'm doing. For some of you, actually, sorry, I have to drink water. Some of you might actually say, Craig, okay, you know what? I jive at that. You make sense. Miracles do happen today. They do. Maybe a friend of mine was healed. I can see. But I don't really see that happen all the time, right? I pray for a headache that I have. You know, it doesn't go. It's still there, right? I have to take Tylenol, which you should, right? Take the Tylenol when you need to. But it doesn't go away. And I would say, yeah, that's true. I agree with that. And there might be several reasons for that. But I actually want you to see this. I think one of the main reasons that it doesn't happen all the time is just the misunderstanding of what the kingdom of God is like, right? So though the kingdom of God is here, although the kingdom of God was inaugurated through Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is not fully here. It's not completely here. I'll explain it a little bit more. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, Paul says, now I know in part. Now I know just a little bit. But then at the end, I will know fully, just as I am fully known. Revelation also gives us a picture of what this kingdom of God looks like when it's fully realized. It says there will be no more tears. There will be no more crying. No more anxiety, no more emotional pain, no more depression, no more sickness, no more pain. Here we see the full realized kingdom of God here on earth. But right now, it's not fully seen. It's not fully known. I was just thinking, Oscar Kuhlman, who's a theologian, he gives this example, actually. It's pretty cool. He says the kingdom of God is like D-Day. Now, if you know D-Day, D-Day was this big battle during the World War II when the Allied forces hit Normandy Beach. It was like a pivotal battle in this war. So that battle itself that the Allied forces won, he says, is like D-Day, because that battle, when it was won, everyone knew that this whole war is pretty much over. This is it. It's done. It's the beginning of the end. But they had to fight. They had to fight. They had to fight until Victory Day, the last day of the battle. So right now, the kingdom of God is like D-Day. It's like, it's here. The kingdom of God is here. The battle has been won. Jesus Christ himself has been raised from the dead, and he's resurrected in heaven. He sent his spirit. The battle has been won, but we're waiting for Victory Day, the day when there's no more pain, no more sickness. Until then, we fight. Until then, we're going to experience the mountaintop of life. We're going to experience the zenith of life, and we're going to experience the pain and the suffering. Same thing. We're going to experience the ups and downs of life. And you might find yourself at either place right now, right? At the pain, at the mountaintop. Everything is going great. Life is going well. Or you might find yourself at the bottom in pain and suffering. But the world, our society would tell you, oh no, we don't want to see your pain. We don't want to see your suffering. We don't want to see your sickness. We want to see your strength. We're going to assess you based on what you can give us, your strength, your leadership skills, all the skills that you can give us. That's what we want. We don't want your pain. We don't want your suffering. We don't want your sickness. But Jesus himself died for us so that we can bring that pain, we can bring that suffering before his feet. He's like, no. If you don't let me know what your pain is, I can't heal you. If you don't let me know, if you don't let someone know what your sickness is, you can't be healed. If we keep hiding and keep pretending that we're strong and we can get it all together, then God's restoration power cannot hit you. It requires for us to be open. It requires for us to be vulnerable. So there are two things, again, I want you to take from this. Wherever you find yourself, are you in pain? Are you in suffering? Or are you at the mountaintop? If you're at the mountaintop, God is calling you to be a healer. God is calling you to be a restorer. God is calling you in your sphere of influence. Maybe there's that one person that God is calling you to listen to be by, to pray for. Who is that one person that you can restore today? And this just reminds me of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And this is what it says. It says, therefore, if you are in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Oh, wow. It just reminds me. The kingdom has come. The old guard is gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us this ministry of restoration, this ministry of reconciliation. That God who was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting our sins against us. And now he's committed to us, to the church at present, this message of reconciliation. So we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. What is that saying? You are the visible expression of Jesus Christ. You are the church that God is calling to bring restoration to the poor, to the sick, to the lame. God is calling you to be restorers. And at the same time, in your pain and your suffering, God is calling you to lay bare all your sufferings, all your emotions, all your anxieties before him so he can heal you. So even now, where do you find yourself? I want you to ask yourself that question. What are the pains and the hurts that you have in your heart that God is calling you to lay bare? What are the worries that you're having right now? Or are you at a place where you know, oh wow, I can provide strength for someone. I can provide healing for someone. I can have faith for someone that they will be healed from their sickness, that they will be healed from their anxieties and their worries. Wherever you find yourself, God is calling us to be that visible expression of who he is. Before we close, we're just going to watch this video. Again, think about where you are. Where do you find yourself? And then we'll pray.
In my lifetime, I have experienced the rule of two totalitarian regimes. One was the German Nazis, and the second was the Russian Communists. The Word of God says 366 times, "Do not be afraid, do not fear." So we weren't afraid. After 40 years of communism here, the fact that many believers left the country, the Czech Republic has been called the most atheist place in Europe. It breaks my heart. My name is Ludmila Harirova. I'm 82 years old. I have 7 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. My husband went to heaven in 2002. The Lord Jesus told me now he is my husband and he wants to continue to use me. He wants me to be his representative, his ambassador. Next to the door of my house, there is a bronze sign that says, "The Embassy of the Kingdom of Heaven." My home is an extension of Christ's kingdom. It's a place where people can come and look for help if they're in trouble or have a need. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. That is the atmosphere I want here at the embassy. The visitors that I get, some of them have called ahead to let me know they're coming, and some just come. The ones that haven't called are usually the best ones, because I'm not prepared for them. Everything that happens is dependent on the Lord. Today, a dear friend came by. She's a widow, and her family really are struggling financially. Whenever people enter this house, I just lay everything else aside and spend time with them. I have learned to recognize the inner voice of the Holy Spirit and give Him room to use me. The Holy Spirit likes to take control. Often I listen to myself and I'll say things I wouldn't even think about. There is no problem to deal with the issues that people bring when they come here, because the Holy Spirit is here. It's an honor for me to be an instrument of God's love and His wisdom every day. We often don't realize that all believers are called to be representatives of the kingdom of heaven. We are all ambassadors. The Lord Jesus didn't choose to do it any other way. He simply entrusted us.
So how's God calling you today to be His representatives, to be His ambassadors? How's God calling you today? How can you be that representative for Christ? How can you be that visible expression of Christ? What is your pain? If you find yourself in pain or in suffering and worry and anxiety, what is it? Let's be vulnerable before God. Let's expect Him to do what only He can. Let's believe and trust that He can heal our hearts. He can heal our souls. He can heal our minds. And He can heal our bodies. So would you close your eyes with me as we pray?